Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, hey, good morning. And we are so glad you're here as we are still in this sermon series entitled Praying with Confidence. And this series is actually, it's based on this book here. And this book is by a guy who's a mentor and a friend in my life named Jeff Leake. In fact, that's who was on that video, in case you're wondering, like, who's that dude? Well, he's the pastor of a church just outside of a place where some of you guys probably don't even mention the name today. But he's a pastor at a church outside of Pittsburgh and a church called Allison Park, Pennsylvania. So, and he's also the founder of the Reach Northeast Network, which the Reach Northeast Network is a network we are a part of as a church, and they actually helped us launch back in September of 2014. But what we're doing is we're going over this book really with a number of other churches all over the East Side, and we're going over this and applying this to our life, applying how we can pray with confidence. And I said this last week, I believe that 2006 will be an incredible year for us all because the way we're going to start it off. Because we're going to start it off with prayer and fasting. And for some of you guys, you joined in this past Wednesday, and you fasted for the church, you fasted for your life, you fasted for your family as well. And it was just incredible just to see kind of what God did through that. And I believe he's only just getting started. So I challenge you too, if you didn't jump into that challenge and you want to, man, write on the prayer card, just say, we're going to fast with you Wednesdays. I'll shoot you out a text just to encourage you in the morning, just kind of get you pumped up and ready to roll as well. But you can fast, and this is what fasting is. Fasting is where we're giving up something that we normally would do. A lot of times you see that as food as well. So there's many of us that are fasting food on Wednesdays. We're fasting meals. And instead of eating, what we're doing is we're going to spend that time with God. And when we get those hangry pains, right, where we get so hangry because we're so hungry, right, when we get that, we turn to God and we give that back to him as well. There's other things you can fast to. It might be Facebook for you for Wednesday. Maybe you waste a lot of time on Facebook and you could spend that time with God as well. Maybe you just eat a lot of chocolate. I don't know. But if there's something you want to fast, do that and then really use that time that you would use that towards God and towards what you want God to do in your life. And I believe that these are going to be revolutionary. These steps of prayer and fasting are going to be revolutionary, not only for us as a church, but also for us individually as well. Because as we learned last week, there's nothing quite like prayer. And we can pray with confidence. Last week we learned that prayer is not a wishing relationship, but it's a working relationship. And we talked about how asking God to do something, it's not about really trying to get him to do that he's something he's reluctant to do, but it's more about agreeing with what God already has for us. And we looked at this this passage of scripture here in 1 John chapter 5 that I want to look at again as well, just because it's so powerful. And it says this. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. So prayer is really about agreeing with his will to be done in our lives. And again, if you missed last week, you can check that out at our website. Our podcast is at www.mylifechangechurch.com. And we kind of talk about the basics of prayer. And today I want to give you some additional tools to prayer as well. I want to talk about how we can make prayer an everyday part of our life. Something that we do each and every day, and we can actually pray with confidence when we do it. Because this is what I know. I know that there's nothing that will impact our life more than developing a daily habit of prayer. In fact, if you get nothing else from this whole entire message, walk away with that. There's nothing else in my life that will impact me more than developing a daily habit of prayer. Because this is key to our relationship with God. When you pray, you impact your soul. You live out the core of what God really has placed within each and every one of us. Prayer will transform our soul. Prayer will transform our world. And what prayer does, it clarifies our perspective. Prayer lightens the burdens that we're carrying. Prayer, it allows us, really allows our consciousness to become clearer, because it frees us from that guilt and shame that many of us are carrying around. And if you break down prayer to its very core, prayer is the power of God released on your behalf. Prayer is the power of God released on your behalf. And it allows us to feel the companionship of heaven. Think about that. Nothing will impact my life more than developing a daily habit of prayer. And the chances are you probably already know this, right? You've probably seen this before in people that you've kind of looked up to. Maybe you have a spiritual hero in your life. Maybe you have some spiritual warrior that you see. And why do we think they're a spiritual hero? It's because it begins with a daily habit of prayer. That person that we look to and think, man, they must be incredible. They have this spiritual, they just have these things that we want in their spiritual lives. It all begins in that habit of prayer. Now, growing up, I grew up in this church, and there was this lady named Mary Roberts. She would actually be really mad if she knew I was talking about her. But she's like a spiritual hero of mine. Like, she's just a spiritual warrior. Like, she is just incredible. In fact, when I was a kid, she would always send me, and my birthday, she would send me this magnet with a little picture and these Bible verses on it that were so encouraging. She still even sends these to my kids today in a card and just some birthday scripture there. It's so incredible that she does this. But she's the type of person, like, when you hear her pray, like, you automatically, like, try to scoot closer to her, right? Because you want to hear her. You want to be a part of that. And I remember hearing her pray, and I would just scoot closer to her, and I'd just listen. Felt like just some of that spirituality, some of that goodness of God was just oozing off of her. You can almost feel the presence of God when you're around her. When she prays, you just feel holier. Like, so that's what you do. You start kind of going back, and you kind of listen to her. But what's amazing is all that started from a daily habit of prayer. Because nothing will impact our lives more than developing a daily habit of prayer. But the truth is, for many of us, this whole thought and this whole idea of prayer is almost overwhelming. Like, if I was to ask you, how do you feel about your prayer life? There's statistics and studies that show that less than 5% of you would say that it's flawless. Less than 5% of you would say that it's incredible. There's not too many people that can say in their prayer life, you know what? People are just telling me to calm down because I'm going a little too crazy in my prayer life, right? There's not too many people that can say that. But most of us, we'd say that, you know what? I wish my prayer life was more consistent. We say that, you know, I wish I could just do it better. Because the truth is, for many of us, this area of our spiritual lives, this is an area where we need to grow and we need to develop. So today I'm going to challenge you with this. I'm going to challenge you during the next 7 days. I'm going to challenge you to pray 20 to 30 minutes each and every day for the next 7 days. Now, for some of you guys, that may seem easy. You're like, dude, I'm already doing this. I got this, right? For others, you're like, this is completely overwhelming. For others, I said the word challenge and you completely just checked out right there. Like, I'm done. And then when I say pray for the next 20, 30 minutes for 7 days, you're like, whoa, completely lost me. You just pushed me over the ledge, right? You're thinking, how can I pray for 20 to 30 minutes? I will just do this quick plug. Tonight we have prayer from 6 to 7, and we're going to jump into this. I'm going to show you how to do this. We're going to apply this so you can start your week off right tonight from 6 to 7, and we're going to pray for a whole hour. We're going to go crazy. We're going to double it up. That doesn't mean you can skip tomorrow, though. Just throw that out there. But tonight we're going to go from 6 to 7, but learn how to pray for 20 to 30 minutes. And when I say that, though, it might be a little weird. It might be a little overwhelming. You might be thinking, like, how can I pray every day for 20 to 30 minutes? Like, I remember when I first made a decision to follow Jesus. I was 13 years old. Went to this thing called the Acquire the Fire Youth Convention. Like, this is free. If you don't know what the Acquire the Fire Youth Convention, this is where this guy with a sweet mullet would come up and he'd preach like nothing else. Like, he would get you fired up. Like, there's so much hype to this thing, right? So I was 13 years old and I went to this convention, end up giving my life to Jesus, and I come back and I'm pumped up. I'm ready to chase after God, right? I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Like, I'm that pumped up, ready to go. So I come back, and I think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what I've heard my whole entire life. I'm going to spend some time with God. I'm going to chase after it. I'm going to get it, right? I'm good to go. I'm like 13 years old. I got nothing else to do the whole day. So I'm like, I got an hour. I'm like, dude, I'm going to chase after God for a full hour. So I did a block that out. I even woke up early. So I got my Bible out. I'm like, I'll start with reading the Bible. So I got 30 minutes of Bible reading time. So I did. I opened the pages up, started reading, paid attention for about 3 minutes. And then all of a sudden I looked at words for the next 27 minutes and turned pages at the same time. It was pretty crazy. I mean, I'm a little bit ADD, so there's a bunch of things going on in my head when I'm trying to read here. So I'm doing that, and I'm like, okay, 30 minutes is up. I did the 30 minutes of Bible reading time. Now I'm going to go 30 minutes of prayer time. And I was pumped up. I just came from this conference, right? So I was hyped. I was ready to go. I didn't even like listen to everybody pray. I knew that in order to pray effectively, you had to say hallelujah a lot. You had to say glory to God. You had to lift your hands up a little bit. You had to do all these different things. I saw that going on. So I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Pray for 30 minutes. In fact, I even quit praying like the moment the conference stopped because I was going to store up everything for the next day. I get in my room and I'm praying and I'm chasing after God. I'm like, I'm going at it. I'm just pumped up. I'm praying as hard as I can. I even got up. I was walking around. I'm saying all this stuff. I'm saying glory to God. I'm yelling hallelujah. My parents are knocking the door to tell me to be quiet. Not really, but I do all that. And I'm thinking, I've been praying for a ton of time, right? I'm thinking I've been praying just passionately. I look at it. So I give it just a real good heartfelt. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I look at the clock. It's like 3 minutes. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, how do I do this? So then I decided just to rest in the spirit, and I took about a 27-minute nap right there. But I know, like, I'm going through this, and I know this isn't my story. This isn't just my story. I think if we're honest with us, many of us probably share the same feeling. Many of us probably have the same story. Many of us might even be there right now. You think, you know what? I know I should have this time with God, but I don't really know what to do when I get into that moment of prayer. So this is what I want to do. By the time we leave today, I want us to be able to walk away knowing what to do in that moment of prayer. Because again, nothing will impact our lives more than a daily habit of prayer. Developing prayer and developing a daily habit of prayer is so incredibly important. For seasoned believers, so if you've been following Christ for a long time, if you develop this habit of prayer, and it will only enhance the things that are already in your life. It'll only just build upon the foundation that you already have. Now, if you're a new believer, I challenge you this as well. Maybe this isn't something that you've learned, or this isn't some skill that you have. But if you do this, it will change the way you believe in God. It will change the way you experience God as well. And I'll say this. If you don't even believe right now, if you're at the place where you're like, I don't know if this whole thing is real, this whole God thing, this whole Jesus thing, it could not be there, right? I'm going to challenge you to pray every day too. Because I think if you pray every day for 20 to 30 minutes, for 7 days, then God is going to show himself real to you in an incredible way. And you may be able to argue a bunch of things that people say, but you're never going to be able to argue an experience that you have. And for young people, if you establish this habit in your life, man, you will experience so much favor in your life. This will connect you into this deep relationship that will carry you on for the rest of your life. It'll make you a better husband. It'll make you a better wife. It'll make you a better child. It'll make you a better coworker. It'll make you a better boss. Whatever area in life you are, it will make you better. And think about the impact of a daily habit of prayer in our lives. I know my own life. I can definitely tell when I haven't prayed. Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little bit moody. I get a little bit tense. I get a little bit at ease or a little bit on edge. Like, I'm a little bit stressed out once in a while. And if I don't pray, man, that stress level just increases. There's this place where I almost feel completely overwhelmed. But when I pray, I can feel his presence. I know that he's walking there before me. Maybe you're the same way. Our habit of prayer, it can really bring us to a place of peace like nothing else. Our daily habit of prayer really can bring a confidence in our life that we can't find anywhere else. Our daily habit of prayer can bring a trust for God that we would not otherwise have. Our habit of prayer really can break the chains of these things that we may struggle with and we may suffer with in our life. Think about this. Imagine instead of being addicted to a pain pill, instead of being addicted to some type of pills, we completely and fully relied on God. Instead of turning to a substance or a drink or something along those lines, when we really just want to phase out some of the struggles in our life, what if we fully rely on God? Instead of cursing our finances and messing those things all up because we're never really relying on God, what if we brought that stuff to God first and prayed about those things and let him bless those? What if in our daily struggles in our marriage, what if instead of us trying to figure out by ourselves, what if we first went to God and we relied on him? This is what a daily habit of prayer can do. It can impact our lives. So again, my challenge is this. For the next 7 days, I want you to spend at least 20 to 30 minutes with God in prayer. for the next 7 days, spend 20 to 30 minutes with God in prayer. This is kind of the homework that you're going to do. But I do guarantee this. I guarantee that you will be different next Sunday than you are today. If you commit to that and you challenge yourself and you stick with it, you will be different next Sunday than you are today. So how do we pray daily? How do we pray for 20 to 30 minutes each and every day? And what should be involved in our prayers? Like, what should we even pray about for 20 to 30 minutes? Like, am I going to just pray the same thing over and over again? Like, what should I do with it, right? This is the question I think we all should be asking. In fact, if you look at it, the disciples even wanted to know this as well. In Luke chapter 11, verses 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Here's Jesus, right? Let me just tell you a thing or two about Jesus. Jesus knows how to do things right. So when he was praying, they're looking at him like this guy's got it. Like, this guy can pray like crazy. So they're looking at him, and he's praying. And then they're like, we want to be able to do that. So they ask him, how you do this? Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? They're looking at him thinking like, we don't feel competent in praying. Show us how you do that. So Jesus unfolds this pathway for him. He unfolds this pattern to make prayer work in their life. And this is what Jesus knew. I think this is what we need to understand as well. In creating any good habit, we need a plan in order for it to be accomplished. In creating any good habit, we need a plan in order for it to be accomplished. Because having plans, they set you up for success. See, good intentions, they're only valuable when they result in good, consistent actions. That kind of applies across the board, just throwing that out there in case you're wondering. But good intentions, they're only valuable if they result in good and consistent actions. And Jesus, he sets out this plan of how we can put this into place in our life. And he sets this out with one of the most famous prayers of all time. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. If you don't have a Bible, we do have Bibles in the back, and then I always will plug the YouVersion Bible app as well. But Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, it says this. It says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. When you look at this prayer, I think this is something we see, and oftentimes we quote this word for word. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's times we need to pray this prayer exactly how it is. There's times where we've prayed it even in service before, we pray this word for word. And there's something incredible about memorizing scripture and utilizing it as well. But I think when Jesus is here, what he's telling us, he's telling there's certain elements of prayer that we should have in each and every one of our prayer. And I want to pull away six elements of an effective prayer. I want to look at six elements of really a prayer that we can pray with confidence. A prayer that we can pray every single day. And if we spend 3 to 5 minutes in each of these six facets of prayer, we'll end up praying 20 to 30 minutes a day. So if you're taking notes, I would ask you to write these down and then apply these later to your week, to your life this week. But number one is this, worship. The number one thing about prayer is that we need to worship. And worship is really focusing in on who he is. See, worship, it's an exercise really in value and perspective. We're attaching value to who God is. And then we're putting our lives into perspective, in the perspective that he sees us through. When we focus on God, it's really our prayer will start off this way. It'll start off, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And if you look at that, really that kind of throws these different areas of who God is. It's really attaching three different values to who God is. And one is attaching value to the relationship that we have with God. God is our Father. If you look at this, this is huge. Just so you know, like, this is revolutionary because up to this point, no one had ever called God Father. Like, this is groundbreaking that you can actually refer to him as your Father and that we are his children. We can address God on this level of intimacy. And this is an incredible news to his disciples. When Jesus was telling his disciples this, they're like mind blown, right? And this is incredible news for us. Because I think many times we don't even realize that we can come to God in this intimate way. We feel like he's so high up and we're so low, but at the same time, he's our Father and we are his children. So we're placing value in that relationship. And then we're also placing the value of the rights that he has in our life and the placing value from where he rules from in our life, meaning that God rules from heaven. All the universe, every single thing in the universe is placed under his feet. We're praying based on the authority that he has over everything in existence. When we place that value on the rights that he has in our life, it's incredible what he can actually do and what we open the door up for him to work through and show his favor. We know that he's able to do whatever's necessary. But when we place that value on the rights that he has, it's acknowledging his power in our lives as well. And then it's the recognition of his name. We're placing value in his name. It says, hallowed be your name. When we talk about someone's name, what are we doing? When we talk about someone's name, we're referring to their character. And we know that God is holy. We know that God is good. We know that he's all powerful, that he's all knowing. We know that God's eternal. He's unchanging. He's full of grace. He's full of love. He's full of mercy and he's full of truth. And worship is the recognition of all those things. It's the recognition of his character and his authority in our lives. And this is how we worship. We focus in on who he is. And what's incredible about worship is this, is when you worship, all of a sudden, whatever's happening in our world takes on a different perspective. When we worship, it truly invites the presence of the Holy Spirit to overcome and to take over everything that we're going through, and it allows us to see our problems. It allows us to see everything we have in proper perspective. It's kind of like the difference between a microscope and a telescope. If you look at a microscope, what's a microscope do, right? A microscope will magnify things that are small. A microscope will take something that we can't see with the naked eye, something that's so tiny, so minute, and it will magnify it to make it bigger. Without worship, what we typically do in our own lives is we take our problems, we take these things that we're going through, and we magnify them completely. But when we worship, it's like looking through a telescope. And what's a telescope do? A telescope, it focuses in on something bigger than us. It focuses on something that's so big, and it brings it into perspective and allows us to look at ourselves and realize how small and tiny we are compared to the vastness and the greatness of who God is. Worship says, I'm so small. My problems are so tiny. They're nothing in the comparison to the size of my God. Truth is, if we don't start our prayer off with worship, all we're doing is we're worrying out loud to God. If we don't start our prayer off with worship, we just have a worry session with God. And at the end of that worry session, we're probably not going to feel any release. Worship takes the focus off of our problems, and it puts it onto the potential of who God is and what he can do in our life. We first start praying, we need to spend some time refocusing in on the goodness and the vastness of God and off of our problems. There's a great example of this in Psalms, where David is praying this prayer here in Psalms 57, 4 through 5. It says, I'm in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. And then it flips the switch. It says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. If you look at this back and forth here, here's David, and he sees himself, he sees where he's at, he sees that he's in all these troubles, but then he changes it up, and he puts his perspective in on God. Worship places the focus in on who he is. Our prayers should start with worship. And then number two, our prayers should include agreement. An agreement is where we're declaring the promises of God. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is a prayer of agreement. If you remember from last week, we jumped in, we talked a little bit about this, but it's saying that God, what you've promised in your word, I agree with that and may be done in my life. It's taking the promises of God's word and it's declaring them for our lives. It's declaring them for our situation. Praying a prayer of agreement is about agreeing with what God already wants to do in our lives. And when we do this, we're praying the will of God. We're praying the promises of God. We're aligning with God's will. And we're saying, may it happen. May I surrender to what you have for my life, God. If you're looking for prayers of agreement, I just want to give you that resource. You're thinking, the Bible's filled with them. But what we're going to do through this series is we're actually going to hand out prayer declarations at the end of each service. They're on the back table. We want you to pick those up. But pick those up and pray through those each week. In fact, I left last week's there for you as well because I know that there were some people who were requesting those as well. But use those prayer declarations on that back table as a way to agree with God in your daily prayer. So check this out. We're two steps out, right? It's pretty easy. We're going to pray 20 to 30 minutes each day. So we're going to start with worship. Do 3 to 5 minutes with worship. So for you, that may mean throwing on your favorite worship song. That may mean throwing your Pandora onto your worship station and really just listening to the words and worshiping God through those. Oftentimes what happens is you even get caught up and you get lost in those songs. It may even go longer than 3 to 5 minutes. And then you can pray through these prayer declarations that we have for you in the back. Pick one of these up and then you can go for your prayer time each day. You can pray over these declarations and let it sink in. And then the number 3 aspect is thanksgiving. We need to remember what he's done for us. The next part of the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. This is kind of an ask as well, so this is kind of a twofold part. But when we say give us this day our daily bread, I think it should automatically lead us to really remembering our daily bread from the day before, and the day before, and the day before. Should lead us to really where we remember the things that God has done. In your prayer time, this may mean that you are actually getting a pen and paper out, and you're documenting the things that God's done in your life. You're even writing these things down, and this is really a time of reflection. We're just looking at your life, thinking about all the things that you're grateful for in your life. And I know my life, my degree of thankfulness, it often really determines my level of joy or my level of misery. My degree of thankfulness, it really determines my level of joy or misery in my life. Because worship, it changes our perspective, but thanksgiving changes our attitude. Thanksgiving changes our attitude. So think about that. What are some things you're thankful in your life? Use prayer as a time to express that. Use prayer as a time to express that gratefulness. Thank you, God, for this daily protection that you've given me. Thank you, God, for the things that you've allowed me to experience. Thank you, God, for the things that you protected me from. The things that I may have experienced, but because you were watching over me, I didn't have to go through those items. Thank you, God, for the lessons that I've learned through the tough times that you've taken me through. Prayer should include thanksgiving, the number 4. This is where we have our request. This is where we ask for the things that we need, the things that we desire. Again, give us this day our daily bread. I think many of us, we understand this one well, right? This is one maybe we even feel guilty for sometimes because this is the one part of prayer that we get, right? We can come with a list. We can come with all these things. But let me just tell you this. Don't feel guilty for asking God for things. Yeah, prayers of agreement are the most powerful. God wants us to pray out of his will, but he wants to hear our heart as well. He wants us to pray out of our heart. As well, he delights in doing things for us because we are his children. And when it comes to making requests, I would challenge you to be specific in those requests. Be specific with the things that you want to see in your life. Be specific in the areas that you need God to move. If there's an area in your marriage that needs restoring, be specific with that area. If there's an area in your finances that you're struggling with, be specific with that area. If there's something where you're struggling with an addiction, be specific with that addiction with God. If there's somebody that you need to pray for, be specific with their name and the things that they're going through as well. We need to be specific in our prayers, and we need to ask God for these things. Matthew 7:7-8, it says, ask and God will give to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Yes, everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find. And everyone who knocks will have the door open. It's okay to ask. It's okay to say, God, these are the desires of my heart. The truth is, though, sometimes he doesn't give us everything because sometimes we're not grateful either. We may not be grateful enough, so there's some of those things he's not going to give us. And there's some things that are outside his will as well, that he knows that, man, he's got something better for us. So if we ask, though, he says, wait, let me package this up in a different way, and let me give this to you in my time. But we have to be willing to say, God, I'm asking this from you. But I'm trusting you for the result. So make request a daily part of your prayer. And then number 5 is confession. When we confess, what we're doing is we're really forgiving and we're pursuing forgiveness as well. It says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Another translation says trespasses. When you trespass, what are you doing? You're on somebody's property without really having their approval of that. What this really means is sin. And sin does a couple of things that weigh us down, that we need to address daily in our lives. See, sin leads to guilt, and sin leads to hurt. If you think about guilt, guilt is this. Guilt is where we've known that we've done some things that we shouldn't have, and we feel terrible for them. We feel sick about them, right? And guilt does this. Guilt stops us in our tracks. Guilt can keep us frozen from moving on because we feel ashamed, and we feel stuck, and we feel like we're not worthy of moving forward. This is where confession is huge. This is where confession is so big because it allows us to overcome that guilt. It allows us to keep moving forward. We need to say, I confess these things. I confess these thoughts. I confess the things I've looked at. I confess the words that have come out of my mouth. I confess the choices that I've made. Forgive me. And then we need to receive that forgiveness through the cross. And we need to choose to walk away a different way. When we ask for forgiveness, we're declaring that you died on the cross, God, that you died on the cross, Jesus, and I am forgiven. And this overcomes the guilt, and it should be a daily part of our lives. Sin also leads to hurt, especially more specifically when people have sinned against us. We often carry this hurt around, and we can either let it fester, and we can get bitter, or we can get better. And by confessing these things, and asking God to help us forgive and forgiving them, it allows us to get better. Part of our daily prayer should be forgiving those who've wronged us. It says we forgive our debtors. And we do this by verbally saying out loud, I forgive you. And then we ask God to heal our hearts. If we do this every day, imagine if we could just walk away with this clear conscience every day. It makes such a huge difference in our lives. So number 5 is confession, and number 6 is declaration. Number 6 is declaration. It's aligning our lives with God's purpose. Lord's Prayer says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is where we declare that we believe it's our destiny to overcome temptation. We declare that the temptations that have dragged us down the past, the things where we've messed up in the past, the things that might even define who we were, no longer define us because we can overcome them in the name of Jesus. There's no evil that is formed that can stand against us. We have won the victory. This is where we align our lives with Him. And the band would come up. You think through these parts of prayer here. You spend 3 to 5 minutes on each one of these prayer focuses. You'll pray 20 to 30 minutes a day. I'm going to tell you this. Your prayer life will be balanced. It'll be effective. And you can be confident in it. Your spiritual lives, you'll begin to sense a relationship with God that you've never had before. It'll become so real to you. And you have an ownership in your spiritual lives. And there's been studies that show this, that you really don't begin to grow spiritually until you take ownership of your spiritual lives. See, we can have the best worship service here on a Sunday morning. I could preach an incredible message, but it doesn't mean anything unless we take ownership in our own spiritual lives. So my challenge is for you to begin praying daily. Because nothing will impact our lives more than developing a daily habit of prayer. So try it. And then tell me next week how your life has changed by just spending 20 to 30 minutes in prayer each day for the next 7 days. That's my challenge for you today, is to spend 20 to 30 minutes in prayer, a prayer time that includes worship, a prayer time that includes agreement, a prayer time that includes thanksgiving, request, confession, and declaration. To close today, what I want you to do is I want you to take out your response card. If you don't have one, we can get an usher to get that to you. Just simply raise your hand. The usher will come all the way forward and kind of walk and see that. I always want to give an opportunity for someone to start a relationship with Jesus as well. So maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what, I want to try this prayer thing out, but maybe I should have a relationship with Jesus first. And maybe you don't have that relationship, or maybe you did, but you've walked away. And you want to make that choice today. If that's you, if on that first box, would you just please check mark that box that says, I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus today. And to believe that God loves you. Believe that God's chosen you to have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and was risen again to give you new life and to forgive you no matter what. And then receive that. Receive Jesus in your life as your Lord and Savior. Receive His power in your life and receive His Spirit to fulfill your purpose for your life. If that's you, check mark that first box. And then the second box says, God is asking me to. If you're here today, and I made a challenge to you to pray for the next 7 days, 20, 30 minutes. If you're here today and you want to accept that challenge, you think God is pushing you that way, mark that down in that box. Make that as a declaration right now. And then turn that in so that we know that you are making one step forward in your spiritual life. If you're here today too, maybe God's asking you to fast on Wednesdays with us for the remainder of January. Write that down as well. And then if you have any prayer requests, we'd love to partner with you in prayer.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.